Good morning, everyone. So good to see so many young people right in the front. Okay? You're not young? Okay, sorry, buddy. I will address you as an adult then. Did you see that? He just went out and said, I'm not young. Oh, okay. I'm young, okay. God bless you. Now, 4th of October, 1883, a gentleman by the name of William Alexander Smith started Boys' Brigade in a small town in Scotland. He saw a bunch of boys who were not very disciplined, and so he gathered them and he started Boys' Brigade, 1883. And today, Boys' Brigade is all over the world. I'm not sure whether he thought about it. I'm not sure whether he was dreaming that Boys' Brigade will go all over the world. Now, many years ago, a young Indian boy who had ADD, that means he cannot pay attention, cannot sit still. You see, I had to answer him before he asks. And very cheeky, very naughty, always, you know, need to do something. And the mother decided to put him in this uniform group called Boys' Brigade. And it was in Boys' Brigade that he actually learned how to focus, learned how to be disciplined. And today, he is the chairman of the Baptist Convention, standing before you. Yes. You see, one of the most amazing things about God is this. I speak about 50 Sundays in a year. There's only 52. And Pastor John Cock books me 1 year in advance. It was my mistake not to lock in the dates. So I made a mistake, and so I had to switch. You know, KLBC, very hard to switch dates one. And the only date that was available and I was free is today. And do you see the sense of humor? It is Boys' Brigade Sunday. It's amazing how God puts things in order. And it's amazing because I've never told this story that I've been through Boys' Brigade ever before. And this is the first time I'm saying it. And it was Boys' Brigade that actually put order through the love of Christ in my life. The number of push-ups that I had to do for being notorious in the Boys' Brigade. Yes. And the squats and the laps that I used to run made me to be an athlete for Penang State. I don't know why I'm saying this, but I just want to tell the parents here, if you are thinking, your kid, I have to drive my child every time on a Saturday to Boys' Brigade with all the traffic, I want to say this to you. Not only everybody becomes a pastor, okay? And some of you may know Philip Securities, Philip Bank. How many of you heard of that? It's a Singapore company, okay? The entire leadership team and the founder were raised up through Boys' Brigade. And they are the ones who are funding Boys' Brigade Asia. In fact, 3 years ago, I invited them to come to Nepal to start Boys' Brigade in Nepal. And without hesitation, they came in and they funded the entire project. So not only pastors come out of Boys' Brigade, some of the most successful people in the world, God has raised through Boys' Brigade. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you for every one of these young people, boys and girls, the ones that led us into worship with such confidence. Lord, we see in today's world, a lot of young people can't even put a sentence together. But here we are seeing young people standing before adults and leading adults in worshiping God. Lord, thank you. There's still hope. And we thank you that you're using Boys Brigade. And speak to us today from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. And I have entitled my sharing today, The Lord Does It. Turn to your neighbor and say, The Lord Does It. Imagine what started in Scotland in 1883. Today, no man can do what the Lord does. That it goes into nations, it goes into territories where we have never thought one can go and touch lives, bring discipline, and shape and change lives of people. And today I'm very thankful for God for using Boys Brigade in my life. And it is God who does this. You know, in the scripture, in 2 Samuel chapter 7, we see the story where the greatest king Israel has ever had. His name is David. And King David was very, very happy that God has made him king. And he had this nice grand palace and he wanted to do something for God and he wanted to build God a temple. And when he wanted to build God a temple, God told him, David, your hands are filled with a lot of blood because David fought a lot of battles. And so God told David that you are not the one who's going to build the temple, but one of your offspring, referring to his son, King Solomon, to be the one who will build the temple. Okay? David wanted to build, but God said, not you, but your son. And the passage that I've chosen to bring across today is from Psalms 127, a psalm written by King Solomon. The Bible calls him the wisest man. Now, I think he was wise in many things except women. Those of you who are Christians will understand what I'm saying. Because he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. No man with the right mind will have so many women. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Men, how many of you understand what I'm saying? I know that many of you dare not put up your hand because your woman is next to you. You know, it's a wrong gesture to put up your hand when your wife is next to you. I can say this because my wife is not around. Not easy lah. Satu pun susah. 700 wife and 300 concubine is a death sentence. But he was wise in many things besides that. Okay? I had to say this because if not, people will get wrong idea. In Psalms 127, verses 1 to 5, this is what Solomon said. If you have your Bible with you, you can change. You can turn to... Where do I point? Okay. Anyway, I think you need to control it because it's not working. Okay. In Psalms 127, verse 1, this is what it says. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Now, what is Solomon writing? Now, when we see this passage and read this passage, sometimes we miss very important points. One of the key words in this passage is the word vain. Okay? Vain. V-A-I-N. And so, why is it saying it is in vain? And so many times, we can do a lot of things, but the things that we're doing goes up in smoke, just like that. Because God is not in the center of what we're doing. When we do things out of our own desires, out of our own ability, many times it can go some distance, but after a while, it can just go downhill. Many of us who have failed things that we have built will understand what I'm saying. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. It is the Lord. The first point that I want to bring across in verse 1, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. It is the Lord who builds. We assist. Are you here with me? Do you understand what I'm saying? It is the Lord who builds. Now, when I say this, am I saying you do nothing and you be lazy, you fold your hands and do nothing? That's not what I'm saying. You see, the scripture teaches us to work hard. In fact, it is Solomon who wrote, the same Solomon, who wrote in the book of Proverbs, a little folding of hands, a little slumber, and poverty will overtake you. In other words, if we are lazy, we're going to be poor. And all Chinese say, hey, no Chinese in this church. I tell you why I say all the Chinese say. Because I grew up with Chinese. And Chinese people don't know how to rest. The old ones are not now. Now, at the age of 27, they want to retire. I'm talking about really old ones. They don't know how to rest. You know the ones that use the, what do you call that? Abacus. They don't know how to use calculator. Because calculator too easy. They have to use that. Until today, I don't know how it works. These are the uncles and aunties that I grew up with. My kampong is Chinese kampong. In Penang. In those days. Now it's a rich man area. Because all the uncles' grandchildren are very rich. Because the grandfather worked very hard. Never took an off day. Chinese New Year closed either one day or 3 days. Cannot be 2 days. I don't know what. It has to be 1 day or 3 days. Or 7 days. Is there meaning to that? He said, yeah. You must have talked to your grandpa. You understand what I'm saying? They work really hard. Hard work helps us to build something. But I want to say this. Some of these grandpas passed on to people that don't know what is hard work. What they built has gone down the drain. And I'm talking through what I have seen with my own eyes. It's destroyed. Within 3 generations. Why? Because the Lord is not in the center of it. The Lord is not building it. It was a self-effort. So when I am saying this, I'm not saying we are to be lazy. I'm not saying we do nothing. But I'm saying we need to put God in the center in everything we build. And make sure God is the one who has called us to build it. Whether we're building our own self, in our career, in our life, in our studies, whether we're building a family, whether we're building a company, whether we're building a ministry. Yeah, ministry. How many of you know even ministers can build without God? If the Lord is not in the center, all the hard work is in vain. Amen? It is important. And I pray today that as you hear this, that you will remember that God needs to be the center of everything you built. The second thing the scripture says here is this. Can you control for me, please? Because this is not working. Oh, I never on. It's on, yeah. It's not working. The Lord is the one who, say it together, protects. Verse 2 says, unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late. You know, some of the best security are Nepalese. Why? Because Nepali people, when they are told to do something, they will do it exactly. They don't think outside of the box one. So they're not so great in business and things like that. But they're really good at their job when it comes to doing security. Cannot means cannot. That's it. They cannot go around one. No means no. But even with that kind of security, the scripture says, is the Lord who protects. Without them, it is in vain. Now, the area that I was staying in Penang, you know, in the earlier days, it was a safe place. We had security, you know, it's a community, guarded community. So everything was fine. But after some time, we realized there was a lot of small theft happening in the area. If you leave your good shoes, it's gone. If you dry your Levi's, it's gone. They know brand one. They know if you buy from Padini or Levi's. So if Padini, they leave it. If it's Levi's, they collect it. And then you might find it in the Pasar Malam over the weekend. And so the community, Rukun Tetangga or whatever, the chairman said we need to put more security. And then they collected money. They put fans, you know, nice fans. They put CCTV. And after they put that, the row of terrace houses where I stay, 3 doors away was broken in on a Monday. I remember that because pastors have Monday off day. So it was broken into on a Monday. On a Tuesday, the neighbor's house got broken in. Okay, this is after fans and CCTV and more security. On a Wednesday, they entered an Indian uncle just 2 doors away from my home, quite a well-to-do family. These guys broke into the house and stabbed him. Okay? But thank God he didn't die. But he was on the floor, filled with blood, for about 2 hours because he was living alone. And only when the people who sent the catered food arrived, realized he was, stabbed and lying on the floor. And my wife and I looked at each other. We pay more money to get more security, but we realize There was no safety. The whole row of all the houses were robbed, except one house. Can you guess? So all the neighborhood people started talking. How come his house only, not robbed? Indian house. I was about to say, he said, really. So all of them talked with one another and thought, is he involved in it? Indian house. Then they say, cannot be, he's pastor. Well, how can? And then one guy say, "Ayo, we are so racist. How come we go and say things like this?" And then they came and apologized to me. And then they asked me, "How come your house is not broken into?" And I said to him, only one thing. We pray and ask God to protect us. You don't know what? None of them are Christians. They all asked me to go to their house and pray for their house. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. God works in miraculous ways. It is God who protects. My brothers and sisters, I want you to know this. You know, sometimes we use our mind. We try to do everything. It's not wrong. But at the end of the day, it is the Lord who protects. Because everything else we do outside of the Lord is in vain. The third thing is this. The Lord is the one who provides. The scripture says it's in vain you wake up early, go to work, you know, stay back at late at night, and then you get fired. That's exactly what happened to my niece. She's a very good worker. She never got married because she was married to her work. She's a very attractive woman, but never got married. But after all the years of working for her company, the company said, "Thank you, company not doing well." She works on Sundays. She doesn't go to church. Priority, work. No time for anything else. Work first, God second. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Everything will be added unto you." Everything. What is the everything? If you read the verses earlier to verse 33, it talks about do not worry. Don't worry about what you wear. Don't worry about what you eat. Am I saying don't work? No. I'm saying put God first, even in your work. Let Him be the center. And He provides. When we were in Nepal, we were missionaries in Nepal during the time where Nepal was going through insurgency, and there was a lot of chaos in Nepal. They moved out all Caucasian missionaries and all foreigners, but when they looked at me, they didn't know I was a foreigner. That's why it's good to be brown in some countries. And so they didn't kick me out. So we lived through war. We lived through insurgency. We lived through curfew. I escaped 3 bomb blasts in my life. I was in a bus that was shot by semi-automatic. See who protects? The Lord. But there came a time where the nation was on a total lockdown. Everything was shut. We had money in the bank, but we couldn't take out the money because there was curfew. 21 days of curfew. It was just called like that. And so our our cupboard, our food, what you call the pantry, was not full of food. We only had stuff for a few days. But when they called for the curfew, we were shocked. And so we were locked in. After 5 days, we ran out of food. My daughter was 4 years old then. And, only child. We left all our ministry. I had a very good ministry. We left everything. And I thought God called me. I know God called me. But at that time, when you're going through difficult times, you begin to doubt. So I thought God called me. And here I am, no food. I can't provide food for my wife. I don't know how to tell her parents. And I cannot feed my daughter. Imagine how the grandparents get really upset. We had money in the bank, but the shops are closed because of curfew. So the money was useless. And when, if you look at my face, I'm not a guy who cries. Look at my face. Normally, police stop me when. When they see me, they say, Inche Borapa, Pastor. Oh, Pastor, okay. But the face always gets me stopped because I have that kind of face. But that day, when my daughter stood in front of me and said, my 4-year-old, Daddy, I'm hungry. I'm very hungry. And she is such an amazing child we had. She never gave us any problem. Someone who loves God. Even at 4 years old, she loved God. And she said, Daddy, I'm hungry. When I said to her, Daddy, don't have anything. She said, it's okay. Let's pray. My 4-year-old. And she prayed. God, please give us something to eat. The moment she said amen, there was a knock on our door. Our neighbors are Hindus. And they realized that we never came out from the house. So they sneaked through the back because you're not supposed to come out. In Nepal, they shoot you. Remember, they follow rules. Anybody outside, shoot. That's curfew. And so they sneaked out from the back into our compound, brought a whole tray of food. And they did that. Different neighbors did that for 21 days. The Lord provides. That's why, my dear friends, when people ask me, are you worried? Because we have gone through the journey. We've gone through life where I know sometimes the things that we do can be in vain if God is not in the center. And I close with this. The fourth thing this passage says, or Solomon says, is this. The Lord is the one who gives heritage. Children are a heritage. To all the parents out there, sometimes when you look at your children, you think, wow, this one's so naughty, don't know how he's going to turn out. I tell you, the ones that talk most will become pastor. Desa Park City senior pastor. Pay attention to this guy. Amen. The Bible says children are like arrows in a quiver of a warrior. Who is the warrior? The parents. How you use your arrow is very important. Train the child in the ways of the Lord, and when he grows old, he will not depart from it. The prayers of my mom, the blessings of my dad, has taken me to places that people can never imagine. Amen? I'm a kampong boy. But today, it is because it is the Lord. I am where I am. The Lord will do the same in your life if you place Him in the center. The Lord will do the same in your family if you place Him in the center. The Lord will do the same in everything that you do, whether it's your business, your career, if you place Him in the center. Amen? Can I pray for you? Heavenly Father, I thank you this afternoon for your presence in our midst. You are a good God. You are a God who answers prayers. Lord, I thank you that this church did not give up on running the Boys Brigade ministry. This is not an easy ministry. Young people don't want to come nowadays because there's so many things that is distracting them. But I thank you that this church and the leadership of this church have never given up. And they're going to see most young men and young women rise up from this ministry. I pray for those who are sitting here and saying, Lord, I'm struggling in this area. It seems like it's all in vain. Today, Lord, may your word be an encouragement to them. May they begin to move you back in the center. If you have become sidelined in whatever, whether it's in the family, in the business, or whatever, today, I pray your people will bring you back to the center. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you, church.